Amir says he is a lucky Iranian. He is 28 years old, he lives in Tehran, and he has a good job working for the government. He's on contract, so there's no security, but he earns a good salary. And a couple of years ago, he saw something. Something that was going to be his first big purchase. A car. But not just any car.
Elantra.
It was a Hyundai?
Yeah. White one.
A white Hyundai Elantra. Amir loved this car. He really wanted it. And there aren't that many foreign cars available to buy in Iran. And this was the one. It was comfortable. It was kind of tricked out. It felt very safe. Not like cars made in Iran. Amir says there's a joke about the two main kinds of cars that are Iranian made.
It's, they say that they are the two biggest murderers. And they've murdered like hundreds of thousands of drivers on the road just because of lack of safety.
That safety doesn't come cheap. The Hyundai is way more expensive than the cars made in Iran. The Hyundai is, of course, made in South Korea, and it was going to cost Amir about $55,000. That is crazy, because a Hyundai in the U.S. costs about $18,000. But Iran's weak currency and its struggling economy means any kind of luxury product commands a huge premium. And in Iran, a Hyundai is a luxury product.
So Amir started saving. He pulled his spending way back. He saved every real he could. And he started working 12 hours a day for nearly 2 years. But all that work paid off. And a couple of months ago, Amir had almost saved up enough money for the Elantra. So he went to check on the car, talk about maybe finally buying it.
They said that the price has doubled.
The price had doubled. Instead of the Hyundai Elantra costing $55,000, it now costs more than $100,000. Totally out of reach.
And the reason for this sudden price hike? Well, back in May, President Donald Trump announced that the U.S. was pulling out of the Iranian nuclear deal and reimposing economic sanctions on the country.
In a few moments, I will sign a presidential memorandum to begin reinstating U.S. nuclear sanctions on the Iranian regime. We will be instituting the highest level of economic sanction.
Suddenly, companies like Boeing, General Electric, and some others that had billions of dollars of deals with Iran were at risk of having to shut everything down. And President Trump also announced that starting on August 6th, the U.S. might impose sanctions on any countries that did business with Iran. In other words, if you do business with Iran, you might not be able to do business with the U.S. and with American companies.
Japan, South Korea, China, Italy, France, India, they all do a lot of business with Iran, and they buy a lot of Iranian oil. All of a sudden, they were scrambling to cut back their orders or to get exemptions. This is The Indicator. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Cardiff Garcia. Today on the show, the price of a Hyundai in Iran, what U.S. sanctions will mean for the Iranian economy and for people like Amir.
Support for The Indicator and the following message come from The Future According to Now, a podcast from Fidelity Investments and Atlantic Rethink, exploring innovations that may soon change our lives and potential opportunities for investment. More at theatlantic.com/fidelitypodcast.
Today's indicator is 50%. That is roughly how much value the Iranian rial has lost against the U.S. dollar this year. Now, this is on the black market. The official value of the real looks much better. But Amir and several sources confirm that the actual value of Iran's currency against the U.S. dollar, what people are seeing inside of the country, has fallen by about half. But even before this year, Iran's economy had been struggling for a long time.
And one of the reasons that its economy had struggled for many years was that the U.S. had imposed a few rounds of sanctions on it starting back in the 1980s. This limited how much business Iran could do, not only with the United States, but with other countries as well.
And then a couple of years ago, the U.S. and a bunch of other countries signed a deal with Iran to lift those sanctions. In exchange, Iran agreed not to develop nuclear weapons. Its economy started to recover, slowly but surely. But there was a really long way to go, right? I mean, 3 decades of economic isolation does a lot of damage.
But just as big international companies like Royal Dutch Shell and Airbus were starting to tiptoe back into Iran, President Trump made his announcement. He said Iran was not honoring its end of the bargain.
The world's leading state sponsor of terror will be on the cusp of acquiring the world's most dangerous weapons.
As soon as President Trump uttered those words, a big chunk of the money Amir had been painstakingly saving for almost 2 years just went up in smoke.
For a year and a half, I've been saving all my money. But in reals, actually, it doesn't work because as much as I save, the value declines and then I see myself, instead of improving, I'm going backwards.
Instead of improving, I'm going backwards. Amir says he would have been better off spending all of his money as soon as he got it. Because of President Trump's actions, Amir thinks that things in Iran are about to get worse, a lot worse. August 6th is a deadline that the U.S. has given for companies to stop doing business with Iran, and Amir thinks that will probably decimate his country's already fragile economy.
Right now, many Iranians can't afford enough food. There's no work, there are severe drinking water shortages, and about half the population lives below the poverty line.
Of course, Amir is in kind of a privileged position. He's educated, high-skilled. He has all those savings that he was planning to use to buy the Hyundai, and that's still worth something. So unlike many Iranians, he has options. And many of the people he knows who also have options are going to Turkey.
A lot of people are moving out of the country, the people around me.
Amir could afford to go. He says he thinks about it all the time. But then he thinks about all the people he knows who can't afford to go. And leaving feels wrong.
I have this kind of inner fight with me. One side says go and one side says stay. So actually, I can't make a decision.
Amir says he may just wait for what he calls the hurricane to come. Stand with his countrymen.
What do you think of the way Trump has dealt with your country?
I kind of like him, his attitude.
Really? I could not believe it when Amir told me this, Cardiff. I mean, Trump had just dealt Iran a kind of economic death sentence, and Amir supported it. And the reason Amir gave me was that in the past, the U.S. had been too soft on Iran. And finally, he said, someone was standing up to his country's corrupt leadership.
Today's action sends a critical message. The United States no longer makes empty threats. When I make promises, I keep them.
Mr. Trump shows that he's firm enough to take serious actions against these guys. And I think if anyone can kick their ass out of this country, sorry, excuse my French, he's going to be Mr. Trump.
So even though your situation... your country's situation is likely to get more difficult because of Trump, you think he's doing the right thing?
You know, he really wants to change the whole system. And that's what people desire.
I asked Amir about this, like, how could you want things to get worse for yourself, for your people? And he told me that they have this saying in Farsi, which is, there is nothing darker than the darkest.
What it means, quite simply, is that if things get worse, it will force a change. That's what Amir believes, that the system will crumble and then maybe something new will grow.
Maybe that's going to destroy the whole economic system.
It's amazing that you speak so calmly about, like, the whole economy could melt down. You just say that so calmly. Are you worried?
I'm worried, but there is nothing in my control. You know, I can do nothing.
What would you like to see happen for your country?
A miracle, maybe. I think a miracle, maybe a war or something.
Things are so bad that you're hoping for a war?
War, yes.
Today's episode was produced by Sally Helm, and special thanks to Darius Rafieyan.